Yo, welcome to another episode of On the Serious 33 and a Third Podcast. It's your man, DeLeo DiCaprio, a.k.a. Filthy McNasty, a.k.a. Danny Domino, a.k.a. your mama's next door neighbor's illegitimate second cousin on your adopted nephew's side.
How many times?
Twice removed.
It's your boy, Drew Nitty, a.k.a. International Drew, a.k.a. that Ghanaian gangster, a.k.a. that black star kid. I ain't got no other a.k.a.s today. Let's go.
The air horn. Yo, word, what up? TJ.
Yeah, and if I ever walk in Popeyes and ask for hottie sauce, smack me in the fucking face.
What?
I'm a grown man. Now, I'm not going to go ask for no hottie sauce.
Come on, man. You got to.
No.
Right, so wait. First of all, Dave, does that mean you have actually tried the hottie sauce? Did you go ask for it?
So, yes, I've tried it. No,
Did you ask for it by name?
I didn't ask for it. I had somebody else go and ask for me.
Yeah, well, there you go, B. You just have somebody. B, A, just send me to get the hottie sauce if you want it.
Nah.
Yeah, man.
Not happening. I'm going to stand on that. I'm going to stand on it. I'm not asking for hottie sauce.
You're never going to try it?
Probably not. Listen. In general, probably not. But if I ever was, I would not ask for hottie sauce. I would ask for Megan Thee Stallion sauce or some shit.
I was at work when we tried it, and somebody was, happened to be out, and they was like, hey, I'm grabbing some Popeyes. Y'all want some? And the sauce had just dropped. So I'm, Jamila always teases me because she calls me, a consummate product tester. Everything new that comes out, I got to have it.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. So I was like, hey, Meg Thee Stallion got a new sauce out. It's called the Hottie Sauce. Can you give me that and a couple Cajun Sparkle with my wings?
What?
And yeah. Wait, don't tell me you don't know.
Cajun Sparkle.
Oh my God. Are you serious? Hold on. Is it what?
I'm sorry. Am I late? Because it sounds hilarious.
Dude, Cajun Sparkle.
You want to know what? For real, dude. Don't.
Wow.
I'm being serious. It sounds okay. So, like, I'm just trying to use the context clues of the name Cajun Sparkle. So, is it like some Cajun powder that you sprinkle on your chicken?
Wow.
I feel like that's misplaced, but okay.
And look, to be fair to you, I'm on your side. I've never asked for it, but I'm fighting a different fight today. So you on your own with this one.
Yeah,
I'm standing on my hottie sauce heel. You can have Cajun Sparkle.
That's fine. Yeah, I don't know what Cajun Sparkle is. So what? Somebody tell me.
So when you go in the Popeyes, mm-hmm. they have these little packets of seasoning. It's just a magical packet of seasoning. I don't know what the seasonings are. They could be cocaine for all I know. But when you put this on your wings, they might actually fly out of the package.
It's like a flavor enhancer.
It's a flavor enhancer.
It's 11 herbs and spices.
All right, so B,
it might be 12.
B, would you go in and ask for Cajun Sparkle?
I just can't see myself doing it. No.
Come on, man.
Dave, you were like, yo, bring me some of that Megan Thee Stallion sauce. And my nigga, don't forget the Cajun Sparkle.
Especially the Cajun Sparkle. But you know what? They didn't put the Cajun Sparkle in the bag. And I was pretty pissed off about it because, they just so happened to have the hottie sauce, but they didn't. I don't know if they just didn't have the Cajun Sparkle or they forgot it.
I mean, hottie sauce is not more memorable.
But listen.
All right, so I'm trying to figure out the last time I've been to Popeyes. It might have been a second, but y'all know I don't really do spicy much anyway. But how new is this Cajun Sparkle? This is the first I've literally ever heard of this.
It's not new at all. It's been around for quite some time.
Quite some time.
And best way I can describe it is Old Bay on steroids.
Is it spicy Old Bay?
It's got a little kick to it. Got a little kick to it.
You said your turkey burgers had a little kick to it, and I could call Dottie and Shanine.
Listen,
we could tell you about it.
Listen, we
your
are
little
not,
kick.
Listen, we are not. Why I don't know why you keep bringing up old stuff, but we're not gotta, you know, talk bad about my turkey burger, my jerk turkey burgers like
right,
that.
Well, for the record, for all of our listeners, once upon a time, what year is this? 2021? Oh, God, this had to be 20, I don't know, maybe 10, 12 years ago. Anyway,
yeah, we were kicking it.
Dave, I don't know, we ended up at Dave's crib. He offered to make jerk turkey burgers, and he just, it was all jerk. But
no,
it was all jerk, and he didn't think that they were spicy. And then we all were trying to decide if we needed to call medical professionals because what the hell was that? So your little kick, I don't trust your little kick, bro.
Listen.
Wait, so they were super hot,
dude. No. They were not consumable hot.
No, come on, Tease. You put an extra on it, and I don't mean extra Cajun sparkle.
I know damn sure I didn't finish mine.
You extra hottie sauce.
Listen, for the record, the hottie sauce is basically like the sriracha sauce from Chick-fil-A. I don't know if you've ever had that. But
I'm just assuming it's like a spicy, sweet, and sour then sauce.
Yeah. Say less. I'll just go to Chick-fil-A and get sriracha sauce. It's all solved.
Come on, man. You gotta support the hottie.
No, hottie. You don't even have to say the hottie part that you just did.
No.
And I'm a big Meg fan. I support it, but I'm not.
Yeah. That's the thing. I don't have to support the sauce, so I feel under no obligation to support hottie sauce.
Fine. That's all good, man.
You know what I think when I hear hottie?
What?
I think the girl on Flavor and Love who fucked up the chicken in the microwave. That's what I'm thinking about when I hear hottie. So no, I don't want hottie sauce.
Man, you know what's? I think her name surfaced not too long ago since you brought her up.
Is that the one who they said she died?
Wait, is that the one? Is Heidi the one that had the big eyes?
Yeah.
Okay. Did she die?
I don't know. That chicken died. I know that.
Yeah, that's right. She didn't cook it at all or something, right?
Nope.
She didn't even turn the oven on.
She microwaved a raw chicken.
Mm, yeah.
And fed it to a nigga.
What?
Yeah. I don't know if she ever saw that.
No, he eliminated her stupid ass.
For trying to kill him, I'm assuming. What the fuck?
Yeah. Well, attempted murder.
I don't know if she ever saw that episode of Martin when they put the turkey in the microwave. But
no, Dave, yeah. I don't remember that episode.
Are you serious? When they
I'm being facetious. Of course I remember. Like, yeah, no, I don't remember this Flavor of Love thing, but
yeah,
I definitely obviously remember the Martin, but She tried to microwave a raw chicken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Caught herself cooking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, she started. His mom was there too. She was feeding his mom.
She almost killed him and his mother.
Yeah.
Right.
Gotcha. Yeah.
What do you remember what she tried to season it with?
It probably wasn't seasoning on there.
I don't know, bro.
Man.
Was she black?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She probably. Did I would imagine she seasoned.
Y'all see how we all reluctantly said that?
Yeah.
Black people know to season the chicken.
Nigga, we also know how to cook it in the microwave. So
well, right. We're talking Flavor of Love contestants. So I mean, I don't know what you want.
Yeah.
I want motherfuckers to cook chicken on without using the microwave. That's what I want.
Speaking of stuff that shouldn't happen, did y'all see that crazy story about the lady who was caught breastfeeding a hairless cat during a Delta flight?
I saw it pass my timeline. I surmised everything I needed to from the headline, and I didn't move it.
Yeah, I didn't read it. I couldn't. This.
Yeah, I'm going to go. No, I didn't know this story at all, but I'm going to assume. I'm going to make some assumptions here.
There was a lady on a Delta flight.
Wait. Can you specify a bit more of a description of this lady?
I actually have not gotten a description from the stories I've read, but I'm just going to make my own assumptions.
I think we all can make our own assumptions.
But she was found breastfeeding the cat and refused to stop after the flight attendant caught her. And
how do you get caught breastfeeding a cat and then be indignant? Like, no, I will not. Like, what the fuck?
And
she had it swaddled up in a blanket so that it would look like a baby. And it was one of those like hairless Rex cats, the ones that look like a rat that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, what if you like were the passenger next to her and you like woke up from your nap and just discovered that, like, did you think you were still dreaming?
Yeah, I had to go back to sleep because I would have never thought I would have seen that. No.
Yeah.
This bitch is feeding felines with her titties.
Yeah. But
in public.
Yeah. And apparently, like, her shirt was up and she was trying to get her cat to latch onto her nipples and she wouldn't put the cat back in the carrier and the cat was screaming for his life. And so,
yeah. This must have been horrible titties.
Yeah.
The cat sucked gently on my nipples.
Yeah. That's pretty horrifying, man. I don't know. You know, every time humans cease to amaze me, then stories like this come up.
I can't wait for Skills to put this in his wrap up.
He's not doing a wrap up.
No, he said this is going to be the last year.
One last one.
He said this is last year.
One time for the W's.
Man. I swear he posted and said you're not doing one this year. Last year was his last one.
He said this year.
Maybe he's reconsidering.
But he said that before, right? He said in the past that he was done.
Yeah. I saw a post on IG where he said not doing a wrap up this year. But maybe he's reconsidered. Maybe public demand. Yeah, maybe.
Right, but I remember him saying that literally probably about 10 years ago. He was done doing them, and he kept doing. So I don't know. I feel like that's Skills saying that is the same as Hove and Too Short retiring. Like it never really happened.
Yeah,
but they entertained the thought.
I mean, he got to do this year because. This is some epic shit that's going down this year. So you got to do it this year.
Yeah.
He should do it up until the point where he decided to stop. So like if he decided in March, we should get like at least 16 bars about January through March and then you just cut the shit off. Like I'm done, nigga. I ain't doing this shit no more.
That'd be dope. Yeah.
Like, stop it, Gorilla Glue Girl, and then we're done here.
See, man, BA, get out of my head, bro. Like, that was literally the next thing I was going to talk about.
Do we really got to talk about this?
Yes, we do, bro.
Do we?
Y'all favorite girl is back.
That's T's favorite girl. Oh,
yeah,
no, she's not my favorite girl.
You were really her biggest advocate here.
I tried to empathize the first time, but she's beyond empathy, I think.
Tessica Brown is back in the headlines once again.
I told y'all she rapping now, right?
Yeah. I'm not trying to hit on bars.
Wait, Dave, you gonna try the hottie sauce, but you're not gonna listen to Tessica's bars?
No. No.
B, did you hear her?
I was the experimental nigga. That's
Dave, did you listen?
Absolutely. Come on, bro. Really?
I didn't know she was rapping.
Nah.
So
the answer's no.
Yeah.
The answer's no.
I would be curious. No,
you don't have to. No, you don't have to. Like, I don't have to look in the toilet to know what the shit is in there. You know, they're like, no, I'm good. I'll pass.
I mean, listen, Logic don't look like he should be able to rap. That motherfucker could rap. You never know.
Yeah, well, Gorilla Glue Girl did not come into the game as a rapper. She came into the game as a meme, and that's not the same thing.
Do you know what her rap name is? Not Gorilla Glue Girl, is it?
I wouldn't give a fuck what her rap name is. I don't care.
Yeah. So
this is the true line. If this Christmas, because everybody's rapping. That's what that is.
Man, apparently Tessica Brown, you know, was like her hair, like she was starting to wear her real hair. She had a gray hair in there, and so she wanted to attempt to dye it, but the dye and the chemicals in the dye didn't agree with her hair and chunks of her hair.
Yo, after the last episode, anything with your hair, why not just go to a professional? Why are you still trying to do your hair?
This doesn't strike y'all as just clout chasing at this point.
No, she's just stupid. I know. Like, it's not like she's not doing it on purpose to chase clout. She's just not smart.
No.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to agree with BA on this one
because you don't have to. She is clout chasing to me because you don't have to announce any of this shit.
Yeah. Well, that's just what people do now.
No, you became famous because you fucked up your hair.
Yeah.
So you're trying to capitalize on that fame by fucking up your hair again. And then, like, you could have just fucked it up and like, I'm not saying you did it on purpose. What I'm saying is that you ain't have to tell none of us. Yeah. That's a clout chase move to even announce it.
Yeah. But what, I mean, I agree with that too. That point right there. But also, she got this rap song. She got to promote this rap song.
Yeah, to promote it too. Right.
Exactly. That's the best way to do it.
Yeah. I was about to say she's trying to get a SoundCloud.
It's all way too coincidental, bro. Like, nah, man. This ain't.
Yeah.
I mean, let me hold on to my 15 minutes as hard as I can. Ooh, what can I do? Let me tell them I fuck my hair up again.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, and you know, at some point, man, you just gotta learn your lesson, man. But she obviously has not, and
She ain't gonna stop until she go bald for real.
Yeah.
Well, she's almost there, Drew.
And I mean, maybe she can go on.
I saw the video, and like her shit is apparently falling out in clumps, and she ain't got much more left to go. So don't worry, Drew. She almost there. She ain't gonna have no hair to fuck up again, and maybe this will be it.
Yeah. Did she get a transplant or something? Didn't she do like, well, no, they helped her get the glue off. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Might be time for a brain transplant, though. Like, Tessica. Speaking of Negroes that just don't seem to learn their lesson, what's up with your boy Tristan Thompson, man?
Oh, God. What Tristan
Thompson? Even that one not smart. It's just a lot more people in the world, man.
Well, man, just keep shooting up the club, man. Just with, you know, randoms.
You didn't see the story?
I saw it.
I didn't.
Oh, yeah, you didn't see it. Basically, Tristan apparently got some random chick pregnant, and he tried to get her to take $75,000 to get rid of it. She's opting not to, and then he sent her, and I believe it's a Snapchat message, the one that I read, basically telling her, like, look, your best bet is to take the $75,000 because, as you know, next year I'm retiring. Well, I'm retiring at the end of this year, so pretty soon I'm going to be unemployed, and you're probably not going to get as much money out of me if I just go on child support payments. So you should take the $75,000 and go.
Okay. All right.
I mean,
that is the best retirement announcement I've ever heard in my life. Nobody has ever announced their retirement that way.
Oh my God, dude.
I'm out because I ain't gonna be able to take care of that kid.
I announced my retirement through my random SBM by trying to pay her off. Okay. All right.
On Snapchat. The Snapchat part really feds me up. That's the shit that feds me up.
Yeah.
That's just crazy. Like, yeah, that's just crazy to me.
But my thing is, at what point do your girl just be like, I can't deal with this dude no more? Yeah.
Are they still together? Yeah. Are they together?
They were.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How far along is the new girl?
I have no idea.
Dude, she about to pop, bro. I saw that.
Because I'm about to. Huh? Is she about to pop?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When he tell her to get rid of it? Because I'm finna go to Texas and find me a lawsuit.
Let's see.
I'm suing everybody.
He
suing Snapchat for harboring that message.
Was it back in March, I want to say? Yeah, the baby was conceived in a Houston hotel during Thompson's 30th birthday.
And it was Texas. Ha!
Yeah. So yeah.
Like, really?
I don't know.
He ran up and just, oh, goodness.
But her lawyers dispute his version of the event, saying that the affair began 5 months before his birthday and continued after.
I would hope so. Yeah. It wouldn't be as random just to smash some chick at your birthday party. Because I'm sure, yeah, that just sounds super random. So hopefully it's not that random. But still, it's still fuckery.
Oh, God.
Yep. Just didn't get enough, man. But
I'm sorry, I don't mean to go back. So, you never got your hottie sauce?
Who? Me?
Yeah,
I got my hottie sauce.
Oh, you did get your hottie sauce.
Yeah.
He never got his Cajun sparkle.
Oh, I'm sorry, the Cajun sparkle that he didn't get.
Yeah, that particular day, I usually get it when I do go to Popeyes. But
so wait, how many times did you have the hottie sauce? Have you combined the hottie sauce and Cajun sparkle to make some new shit?
I have not. I've only had the hottie sauce once, but no, it was good. It
why was, you know, keep calling
had a look.
Check out the name it. Of it. What are you talking about?
Listen, BA, would you prefer we call it Tyler Perry's hottie sauce?
No, he wants you to call it what he y'all just said it was, sriracha sauce.
Yeah, call it sriracha sauce. Call it Meg Thee Stallion sauce. I'm okay with that.
Man, listen. Yo, so I got an actual request for a topic that one of my good friends who will remain anonymous. Well, she didn't, you know, she had a situation that she wanted to talk about and get our perspective on, and I am interested to hear what y'all, you know, have to say about this.
I feel like we should just wait. Preface it and apologize in advance to this person because I already feel like
ain't nobody apologizing for shit. If she asking, she listens to the show. She knows what she's asking for. So what are you talking about?
I feel like it can go left. I just have a premonition, but go ahead, Dave.
But so, wait. I gotta ask this question. Will this send BA and TJ on a 40-minute
rant? I'm not arguing with this nigga today. We're good.
Okay. I just want to know.
No, this is definitely something all of us can chime in on. But she says she has a male friend who she used to date a few years ago, but it only lasted a year. They didn't have a sexual relationship. But during the year that they was dating, he always wanted her to come over to his house and cook for him because he's an introvert and she's an extrovert. And, you know, likes to go out and, you know, dance and do all those types of things. And he would always just want her to, you know, come over to her house and just chill. And, you know, she's not really the Les Playhouse type of woman. So, you know, after their relationship ended, you know, for a year, they ended up being friends. But, you know, she felt that, like, he was, like, really cheap. Didn't ever want to, you know, pay for anything. But he told her that, you know, she never paid for anything or bought him anything. And she said she doesn't really, you know, pay for any dates or buy men things if they're not exclusive. And, you know, during that time that they were dating, you know, others, or at least she assumed that, you know, he was, but she was, you know, definitely dating other people too. And she says she's not accustomed to paying on a date when she goes out on a date. Even when she's offered to pay, that men, you know, that she goes out with usually insist on paying. Mm-hmm. And she says if she's exclusive with the guy, you know, that's different for her. But it goes back to, like, I guess, you know, she said that he only took her out about 8 or 9 times. They went out as friends after they stopped dating, but he would always expect some type of sexual exchange when they go out. She said taking a woman out to the movies or getting a burger or Harold's Chicken does not qualify any man to sexual relations in her book.
Facts.
So he said that, you know, he was whining about her not taking him out and that she called he only said something because she called him cheap earlier this year. And so she was wondering, like, you know, how we feel about women paying for men's dates, offering when, you know, you go out, should a man, you know, still not accept, you know, a woman paying, you know, what's been y'all's experience with that? Like, you know, do you feel that, you know, cause she feels that men always feel like they're entitled to something when, you know, we go out on a date, you know, which always makes me think of that D.L. Hewley joke.
You guys, you order from the fucking side of the menu,
right. You know which side of the menu you order from, right? But what's y'all thoughts on that, man? Do you guys have you ever allowed a woman to pay for you for a date? What were the circumstances? You know, what's that whole situation?
Who wants to go first here?
I'm gonna let you go because I'm gonna
say my piece and be done with it. Yeah. Have I ever allowed a woman to pay? So first of all, I'm not initiating or trying to take anybody on a date if I know I ain't got the money to pay for the goddamn date. Now, right. If someone I'm seeing or whatever, she hits me like, yo, let's do lunch real quick. I'm gonna be, first of all, I'm gonna be like straight up like, yo, I can't do it right now. I ain't got it right now, blah, blah, blah. Now if she insists and be like, my treat, then I will let her pay for it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm not planning or offering to take her out and I know I can't pay for it. That's right. That don't even make sense to me. So yeah. That's like, and then like sometimes I might be out with it could be, you know, someone I'm seeing or whoever, and you know, I mean, if I'm going, and obviously if I offer to pay, then I know I have it. But there's been a couple of times when, you know, I was prepared to pay, and then the person might have insisted on treating, and I was okay with that. Like I didn't feel no way about that.
Did y'all do a back and forth, or did
brief one?
Because you know what rule applies when it's a back and forth? It's the Theo and cockroach rule.
Yeah.
When
if I recall, like the back and forth might have been very brief. Like, you know, it came. I offered to pay, and she was like, "No, let me. I want to." And then I was like, "Fuck it." Like it wasn't that back and forth. Yeah. I wasn't gonna lose if I tried to go back one more time, and then she's like, "All right, cool." Like, no. So, yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I honestly, like I said, I wouldn't take a woman out or offer to take a woman out if I couldn't pay for it. So I wouldn't expect her to pay. Now, in a situation like I just said, if she decides she wants to pay or insists, I believe in equal rights. So go ahead, pay for it. Then I don't care. Like it doesn't make me feel a way if the woman pays for lunch every blue moon or whatever.
Yeah.
As far as the like introverted, extroverted, like, and him wanting to be in all the time, like, I think it's give and take, because even as an introvert, you know, you gotta be considerate of the other person. If she likes to go out, you gotta fucking
put your halfway somewhere.
Go out a couple of times a month. You can't just the whole time y'all dating and since she come over, like that's no give and taking that. So I mean, that should be give and take.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And it, you know, yeah, him wanting her to always come over and always cook, like
that's the case, if he wants to stay in, he should fucking cook.
Yeah, exactly.
Take care of dinner once, like don't expect her to cook every time y'all stay in. Like she's doing you a solid by fucking staying in, and she wants to go out. So yeah, you can cook. So no, he should, expecting her to cook, that's some primitive shit. Just cook. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
BA.
Boy.
Huh? Drew, you want to go ahead?
I'm not arguing with you.
What are you talking about?
I'm just saying your counter opinion. Excuse me. I didn't mean to use the word.
I didn't have a counter opinion. I agree with you. What are you talking about?
Here we go. My bad. I jumped the gun.
All right. So I'm going to go with, you know, if you ask a woman out, you should pay.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. If you ask a woman out. Now it could go either way. If she asks you out,
yeah,
you know, that's, you know, at that point is who got the quicker gun, who gonna pull out that car quicker than me. Like you can still pay for it even though she asks you out. But if she, boom, she dropped that car before you, you gotta let her do it. If you hit it, get it before she do, boom. Because let's be honest, when they give you the check, who do they get a check to all the time anyway?
Mm-hmm. The guy, right to you. Yeah.
So. Yeah, you gonna. I definitely would pay for the dinner, you know, especially if I ask her out.
Yeah.
Now, on the flip side of that, you know, going in the house and eating and making her cook all the time, that's totally out of bounds, bro. Like, you gotta do spice something up. She don't. Why does she have to cook all the time? You could order something out, made it like a real good, like in-home date. You know what I'm saying? If you gonna do that, make it a real good one. Like, you could order some food from any of the places in the city and just had it, they're sitting there, candles, stuff like that, boom, you there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, making her cook every time.
Yeah.
Yeah, nah, that ain't a go. And the moment you've been waiting for.
All right. Well, this guy's a fuck nigga with unrealistic expectations. Let's dive into that.
Yeah.
And well, she's not 100% not. I'm gonna give. I gotta. Okay. All right. So everything y'all said is actually true. So this is just me, my personal opinion. Whoever's asking the person, other person out, should be the person paying for that date. Yeah. However, have people paid? Have I been on a date where the woman's paid? Yes, but that wasn't like get to know you or we're going out as friends. It was more like I'm being taken out for an occasion. Okay, sure. Yeah. So and I'm fine with that. If we're out and I do, I feel like if I offer to pay, that's fine. I do appreciate you giving me the no. I got it. No, so just so I can tell you, no, I got it. I'm not gonna let you pay. But if you offer, that still says that says something to me.
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna let you do it. That being said, she mentioned that he had this thing where he wanted like sexual shit to happen.
Yeah.
For like his. Let me tell you women how to solve that issue.
Oh boy.
It's very simple. Oh boy. Go Dutch.
Yeah.
Go
yeah.
Dutch.
Yeah.
You pay for you and he can't have no expectations. That's Absolutely. What that is.
Absolutely. Wow.
That is the very why would you go into it if he's paying for everything and he's expecting you to do anything sexual in nature, pay for yourself. Bring your own money.
Yeah. Definitely. I agree.
That's how you curb that expectation.
I agree, because I feel like.
But most there are a lot of women who refuse to do that. They feel like they go out. It's the guy's responsibility to pay, but that guy thinks he's going to get something in return. And the way to just nip that in the bud, cover yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but dude's an idiot.
Yeah,
he's an idiot. She can probably do much better.
Yeah.
And hopefully she has.
What's that?
Yeah.
Hopefully she has done much better.
And hopefully she has, yes. But the whole thing is like the whole he an introvert and she's an extrovert. He's gonna have to meet her halfway. And if he's not willing to do that, then he's not really investing himself into this situation. You know what I mean? Like I can't expect you to be 100% doing what I want to do. Every time, that's a control issue, bro. That's some, it's some deeper things there.
Absolutely, I agree.
So
I agree because I think the unsaid rule of thumb is has always been if whoever is the person inviting the other person out, typically is expected, you know, to pay the bill. But you know, when it comes to, you know, the relationship there, depending on what that relationship is, even if you're trying to get to know the person or whatever, like I've typically, you know, and Drew, we can talk from both perspectives, you know, pre-marriage and after marriage. Right. But, you know, when we were, you know, dating, I would always offer to pay, you know, regardless of what the situation was. But there were those situations where, you know, it might just be like almost like a business lunch or something like that, where it's just, you know, we're going out, you know, to talk about some stuff. And then, a lot of times in those cases I'd offer to pay, but sometimes we might just do Dutch, you know what I mean? So, but when it comes to, you know, husband and wife, obviously there comes those times where, you know, I'd say 70% of the time, you know, I'm picking up the bill, but if it's a special occasion, you know, like recently it was my birthday and, you know, I ordered up a bunch of food so that to me it could pay, you know, pay the bill.
You said you ordered a bunch of food so that Jamila could
to make her pay.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But now
you basically took advantage of your birthday day.
Dave's like, I want five lobsters.
I did, but no.
And only want two. I want five of them, though.
But no, like, you know, in relationships sometimes, well, not sometimes, you know, finances always, you know, come into play. So there might be, you know, times when I'm not, you know, financially where I want to be. And, you know, we might have to either split or, you know, split the bill or, you know, there have been times when, you know, she's had to, you know, take care of things where I, you know, where I might have been, you know, lacking in the money department. But so those, you know, those things all also come into play when you bring in a exclusive relationship or marriage.
But in this scenario, though, they were just seeing each other as friends.
Exactly.
And there were no, she said that they had not had any kind of sexual contact at all during this period, right?
They were dating, though. They just not with non-exclusive dating, and they weren't intimate.
Right. Yeah. And, okay. Right. But then they didn't just have to be friends, and they went out a few times as friends after that.
Yeah. Exactly. After their you know, quote unquote relationship ended. You know what I mean?
So here's the thing: if we're going out as friends, am I really obligated to pay for you?
That's a very good question.
Can you invite her?
I don't know how. I'm just saying, if we're going out as friends, I don't know how that dynamic works.
Going out as friends or as, you know, people dating, I think that point is mute. It's who invited who to lunch or dinner or whatever. Like, yes, even if you're my friend and I invite you out, if I'm inviting you, then I'm going to pay, right? Because
I get that, but I also feel like if we're friends, then we're friends. Me telling you, it's like you said earlier. It's like if your friends invite you out, you're like, no, I can't even do it. I ain't got it. Then at that point, if I say, well, I got you, we're good. But if you say you ain't got it, and I'll be like, all right, then, well, I'll holler at you next time. I'm not obligated to pay for you. Right, if I choose to, I can.
Right. Yeah.
But I'm not obligated if we're going out as friends.
Yeah. That's true. That's true.
It's the same thing you said. You get me? Like, I'm not saying.
Yeah.
So if it's a situation where it's just a friendship thing, he's under no obligation to pay for her, and she shouldn't have that expectation. Yeah. Now, if they're dating, then yes, I'm gonna go ahead and say he should be. Typically, I'll say whoever asks first, but in theory, I would still say him. If they're in a dating situation. But once we establish we're just friends.
Okay, so I'm not going to regret this. All right, so, but you they will. Weren't.
You're not. I'm not going to argue. I'm not arguing.
Okay, so I just want to make sure, like, they weren't intimate. They weren't physically intimate during their dating. So they were dating, but they weren't having sex. So that doesn't, like, change anything, right?
No. Okay. No. Because you're not obligated to have sex with anybody. It's not a requirement. It's not a, you know. I
don't know if y'all were gonna throw the feminist bag on me because I was gonna say the same thing that just because somebody, you know, you go out and somebody pays for something doesn't make women obligated to have sex. A lot of people feel that way, or exactly like we were talking about the D.L. Hughley joke. But
did you miss my whole Go Dutch?
No, I did not miss your whole Go Dutch thing. I was just kind of putting that part out there because I felt like that was a part that was going unsaid. So yeah, he was bogus. He was expecting way too much. He sounded like I don't want to speculate.
He sent some control issues because wants to do shit his way.
Gender idea shits like he expected her to cater to him.
Yeah.
On some 1950s gender role shit.
Yeah.
Always expecting her to cook because she comes over. Like, nigga, no.
Come over.
Also,
we're going to leave it to Beaver and chill.
Right.
Also, Harold's chicken definitely does not qualify.
Harold's, my nigga.
Wait, just because they fried it hard, you think you're going to get it?
No, oh, dude. My God.
Did they dine in for the Harold?
I don't know. Now, Mastro's might. No, let me stop. But
You stupid.
But yeah. So, okay. Yeah. But no, I think we're all kind of on the same page as far as that. And,
my advice in the future is you go out with Go Dutch.
Yeah.
That way you can eliminate that need or that sense of he wants you to be you the obligation he's trying to make you feel to give in.
Yeah.
God damn it. No, it's I hate people now. Don't worry about me. I'm good.
Oh man.
I go on forever because I feel like I can say that, and then if there was like a woman on the show, she would be like, "But men, I suppose."
LB, I'm sorry.
Okay, go ahead, woman on the show. Go ahead, say.
Wait, what? Wait, what?
Go ahead. Say what you're gonna say. You were sighing. Go ahead.
Nigga, did you say go ahead, woman on the show?
I definitely did. I'm glad you heard me.
Exactly. Oh, man. I wasn't even finna. No, I was just going to say, for some reason, this made me think about Phil ass making double reservations and never canceling the other ones.
I don't know. I don't know why that has anything to do with
this. Because we're talking about taking people out to restaurants, and then you
apparently... We talk about paying, and I never said somebody else had to pay for that. I'm not arguing with you. Go ahead. Do your thing.
We're not arguing. I'm just saying it made me think about that conversation about you making the double reservations. That's all I'm saying. Because we're talking about taking people out to restaurants. And you make sure you do, because you make extra reservations.
At places that I can pay for.
At places that you can pay for. Absolutely.
Yo, did y'all check out that that article?
We solved her problem. We answered her question while we talked about
this. Date better, baby. Date better.
Yes.
That expects you to be on some Joan Cleaver shit.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Did y'all by chance check out the article I sent you regarding De La Soul's discography being better than the Tribe Called Quest?
I didn't finish reading it, but I was looking at it briefly. I will say this. I don't know if I completely or necessarily agree. However, I definitely can understand how you can make that argument.
Yeah, I agree with that statement.
Yeah, basically, you know, they started around the same time I think dropped their first album a year before or whatever. Mm-hmm. And basically Tribe had a 16-year absence in making albums. Now, granted, both groups kind of made their classic stuff in the 80s, 90s, but the Tribe stopped making albums in 98 and De La kept making albums, and they made some great albums post the 90s or whatever. So they have a longer discography. I think they have more material, more really, really good material. So I can make the argument. I can get to the argument. I would need more time to figure out. I will literally, my music nerd ass, have to go through the albums and kind of compare them.
Yeah. I gotta admit, as a hip hop fan, and you know, growing up of course in that, you know, golden era, I was a bit late to the party with both groups.
Get in, Dave?
So listen, I was and when I say late, obviously I knew all of their hits that, you know, that were out, but I had more of an affinity for Tribe. But I think what for me, the turning point where I kind of like went back and revisited them deeply was Midnight Marauders. So like Low End Theory, obviously I was familiar with most of the tracks on there, and you know, obviously the ones that they put out as singles, but I wasn't like a head, like a Tribe head, until I went back after I had like played the shit out of Midnight Marauders and was like fell in love. I went back and like really, you know, revisited Tribe stuff. De La, I was always kind of, I don't know. It was like some of their stuff was a little bit, even though it was like super creative, some of it was a little just not my style or whatever, I guess, at the time.
Wait, pause. What, like, give me an example of one of those super creative but not quite your style songs or?
Like Potholes in My Lawn, for example.
I love that record.
It was catchy, but it wasn't one of them records that used to come on and I'd be like, oh, this is my shit. Like, I'd be going crazy. You know what I'm saying? It's another one that was around that time. Might have been on that same album.
That was the first album, so that was 3 Feet in High. So Potholes in My Lawn, Me, Myself, and I.
Yeah. Me, Myself, and I, of course, I loved, but it was...
Say No, Go. Say No, Go was the second album, though.
No, it wasn't.
Say No, Go?
Yeah, I think that was first album.
You know, Buddy, I was into, but it was like, of course, the stuff that was, like, out there and, like, you know, was the popular singles I was rocking to, but, like, I never, like, went and sat and listened to De La's whole albums until later and went back. So I definitely was late, you know, admittedly late to the party on, you know, the two groups' discographies early in the game. You know what I'm saying? So for me, I always held more of an affinity for Tribe. And then De La came a little bit later for me.
even though Daylight came out first and kind of introduced Tribe a little bit.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. Cause I think even with the Balloon Mind State album, you know, Break of Dawn came out and I was like, oh man, it's my shit. And then I think I went and like kind of like listened to the album and I honestly wasn't blown away. So it was kind of like, I was always on the cusp with De La, man. And I didn't really get an appreciation for them until like much later.
I think De La is one of them groups where it's really not for everybody. What you're saying makes a whole lot of sense.
Yeah.
Cause I don't think everybody, you just vibe with De La the way, you know, that De La fans really do. You know what I'm saying? And that's nothing. So I agree with what TJ said. Like I can understand somebody making the argument.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily agree, but I can definitely understand the argument. I'm not mad at the person posing the question.
Yeah.
So.
And I think, cause did Stakes Is High drop around the same time as Midnight Marauders?
Stakes Is High was 96.
96, Midnight Marauders was what, 93, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was 90. Yeah, because sure enough was at Columbia when that dropped. Yeah. Well, for both of them, but, you know, that was I distinctly remember in between class going to Tower Records buying Midnight Marauders after getting my six-piece Harold's Mild Sauce.
Drew, yeah. You got anything? Who you riding with?
Man, I'm gonna have to ride with Tribe, man. I think it was like everybody been saying, it's like I was a Tribe friend from like Low End, you know, and like I went back to listen to Peoples. But then to me, I think Peoples, Low End Theory, and Midnight Marauders is three classic albums back, you know, that's like going, you know, 3-for-3 in overtime to win the NBA Finals. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay, but wait. You don't feel like they got did three straight classics?
I don't.
Because it was 3 Feet High and Rising.
Mm-hmm. And De La Soul is Dead.
De La Soul is Dead. And what was the third? Was the third one?
Balloon Mind State.
Balloon Mind State was the third.
I didn't like Balloon Mind State.
Yeah. I did. Yeah.
Nigga, nah. It's so easy. Oh, no. That was on Sex Is High.
That's Sex Is High.
Saturdays was on Balloon Mind State, wasn't it?
Saturdays was on Balloon Mind State. Obviously, Break It Down. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like, okay, so here's the question. I feel like Daylight had four string classics because I think those second and third albums were classics. And then Stakes Is High, the album, I feel like is a classic. But so is, what was Tribe's Beats, Rhymes, and Life? Is that classic?
I know.
The first three Tribes are definitely classic.
Yeah, I wouldn't say Beats, Rhymes, and Life is classic. I do
Tribe
rock.
Wouldn't say that that's classic.
Nah, they wouldn't. I do rock with a lot of the joints on that, though. I ain't go front.
No, I think I listened to that. It didn't stay in rotation like the rest of them did, so I'm not going with that. Nah, Beats, Rhymes, and Life was like, it was okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, you know, like you said, how we based classics back in the day was we never skipped a joint.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like, I know I skipped on Beats, Rhymes, and Life.
Yeah.
Now, B, what do you think? Do you think De La had four straight classics out the gate?
I don't know. They had four straight great albums. I don't know if I'll say four straight classics.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, I wouldn't necessarily use the word classics.
Yeah.
And you know what? In retrospect, in having this conversation, I could probably be okay with not necessarily. There are great albums. De La Soul Is Dead and Balloon Mind State. But okay, it could be a little.
And 3 Feet High and Rising.
Yeah.
Well, what I'm saying, no, 3 Feet High and Rising and Stakes.
But that's a classic. I'll call that a classic.
Yeah, those two are classics.
Yeah, De La Soul Is Dead and Balloon Mind State. While they're really,
I'll call them great albums. I wouldn't necessarily say that they're classic.
I can agree with that in retrospect now.
Yeah.
But okay, so then my point is, De La dropped four straight really good albums, arguable, and then Tribe. I think I like Beats and Rhymes more than most people do.
You probably like it more than Q-Tip.
it's a lot of joints on there still, Bob.
Yeah.
You know, Get a Hold, you know, Stressed Out, of course. Phony Rappers. It's some joints on that, man.
Yeah.
Now the Love Movement.
Nope.
Nope. And people nope. Give them credit for.
Say that again.
I feel like that album is better than people get. Like, a lot of people consider that kind of like a blight on their record.
They consider it that.
They great.
I don't know. Like I feel like that album is better than people remember or give them credit for.
But TJ, it's kind of the same thing we was talking about the Jay-Z thing last week when we was talking about Volume 1.
Yeah.
He called it a oops. I never considered that a oops. Yeah. Tribe says Love Moment is they didn't like it at all.
Yeah.
But you're saying, you know, your opinion is it's better than people give it credit for. But the group itself is like, yeah, we fucked that up.
I'll tell you this much. I can only think of like three joints off that album off the top of my head. Honestly, that's how much I can't think of none.
Is Like It Like That one of them, Dave?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep.
Yeah.
Sure is. But yeah, that one, I honestly would definitely have to revisit. And that's why I like the other thing too is, and the article brought this up too, is that, you know, with De La still not streaming yet, all of their old stuff, you know, I'd be wanting to go back to like really, you know, revisit their albums. And even like,
this is where I put my music snob hat on. You don't got CDs though?
No, the only one I have is 3 Feet High and Rising. I don't have the rest of them on CD. Other than the newer stuff that they put out.
Oh, Dave,
I need for it to go on streaming so I can because I ain't about to go through my storage.
Man, because I got because the only ones I got on CD is 3 Feet, and then the new stuff, the two Bionics albums and the other joint they put out. But I don't have De La Soul Is Dead or Below My Estate.
I'm judging.
We know.
You niggas ain't heads.
Oh man. Yo, real quick, man, gotta send a shout out to Lois for posting on the series 33 and the third in her top five podcast. That's love, yes. Right there.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Lo.
Yeah, yeah.
Shout out, Lo. She's keeping the lights on around here.
Man, appreciate you. Appreciate you.
Marvel crew all day.
You said Marvel crew all day. Yo, yeah. Meanwhile, what's up with these Spider-Man tickets, man? I know the pre-sale happened earlier this week, so I don't know. Are we going to be able to go see it on the first day? Because I'm trying to avoid these spoilers, man.
Well, no, I think we're probably going to end up going the second day. But, you know, first of all, I just saw something that just blew my mind earlier today. Why are they selling tickets for the Spider-Man No Way Home for, like, is tickets going on sale for, like, 10 grand?
Oh, my God. What is this?
$10 grand for what?
For movie tickets, my G.
What?
I don't know. Am I sitting with Spider-Man in there? Am I swinging? Is it going to give me the swinging effect while I'm in the movie theater? I don't know. But for 10 grand, nah, I'm straight.
Is they going to bring back Stan Lee up in this mug?
Right.
I'm out.
Nigga, like,
dude, like, that's crazy, man. That's like them free Larry Hoover tickets. I saw some of them going for $7,500 online.
Yeah, really?
$7,500. My G.
Okay, I was gonna say $7,500 sound reasonable for that.
It was something online for like $7,500. But that's crazy, dude.
But I mean, we already got so many spoilers in for this movie so far, so it's. But you know, I still want to go see it, but I'm not paying I'm not paying 10 grand for that joint.
Nah, we was definitely not paying no 10 grand. Forget that.
And by the way, I saw Venom last weekend. Trash.
Oh.
The second Venom, trash.
Oh, man. Really?
Man.
I hate to hear that.
Man, that was hot community garbage.
Which means Morbius is probably going to be trash, too. I'm not that excited to see that anyway.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm good. Yeah, I'm definitely good on that one.
I mean, the first Venom wasn't bad, though.
No, it wasn't. Yeah, I like that one. But this one, garbage.
Speaking of Spider-Man, I haven't played the Spider-Man on Avengers yet. It's been definitely getting mixed reviews, but I did finally beat the Black Panther story on there.
Yeah, still didn't go back yet.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. You gotta hop on, man. Yo, I just read something today, man. So, you know, with all the reboots and stuff that's been happening, yet another one is in the works. What? Man, they're getting on my nerves with these, man.
What?
So apparently they're making a remake of White Man Can't Jump.
Nope.
Oh, God.
It's going to be written and produced by Kenya Barris and co-produced by Doug Hall and executive produced by Blake Griffin and NFL star Ryan Khalil. And the same brother that's directing the new House Party reboot is directing this movie as well.
All right. Did they announce who's going to be in this White Man Can't Jump?
They have not. They have not.
Nope.
I need the reboots and remakes to stop.
Listen, y'all got to remember, dog. These movies at this point are 30 years old. That's what happens 25, 30 years old. That's what happens. I know.
Bro, but we didn't get this when we was younger.
Yes,
no,
we did. You just didn't know it because you weren't around 30 years before. We got
but,
this shit.
Like, but we heard, of the movies, you know.
I feel like the frequency of it now, TJ, is off the chain because I guess, and the other thing, too, is I get in this age of TikTok, you know, you got you know, a lot of folks who do, you know, videos and homages to the movies, which is great, but I just feel like now it just needs to be more original content. And maybe it is, maybe I'm overlooking it because we're deluged with so much content. It's so many different streaming services, so many different shows and all of this, but man, I just feel like the whole reboot thing, especially. And I think we had this conversation on here before. Like, I don't mind a reboot necessarily if it's a bit of a diversion from the original.
Reboot or remake?
Well, that's a reboot. Yeah. You're talking about a remake of a movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And that happens all the time. That's not uncommon. Yeah, I agree with TJ on this one. It's not out of the ordinary for movies to be remade after.
No, and I get that, but it's not as frequent as it is now.
Yeah, I just feel like it's so much of it, man. Now,
I hear y'all. Yeah. I hear y'all, and I'll say a couple things to that. One, we were young, so we didn't really look into how, like, the frequency of our parents may have said the same thing. Oh, they're remaking that again. Here we go.
Yeah.
We don't know that. We just saw the original. You know, we saw the remake. We didn't see the original.
Yeah. No, but what I'm saying is, like,
that being said, you also got to remember, like, the amount of movies that came out. Like, there was a lot that happened in that 80s and 90s, early to that era.
Yeah.
A lot of content happened. And there's a lot of fodder out there for available to remake. So
yeah,
people are really grabbing at it. Like,
if that shit made money then, they feel like, oh, capitalism is a motherfucker, so they're going to try to make some more money off of it now.
No, and everything running 20-year cycles. When we was in the 90s, they was redoing shit from the 70s. Now they're doing shit from the 90s, and we feel some kind of way because we grew up with that.
No, yeah. But no, I think, like, let's, for example, when they remade King Kong 4 times in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Actually, and they had like 7 of them before we were alive.
Right. So yeah, but what I'm saying is we heard about those. We knew about those. You know what I'm saying?
We saw those.
But the movies that what I'm saying is, like, if there were others, we never saw those. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We never saw those. Like,
they let me give you a counterpoint. We ain't making the same complaint about Spider-Man. We're literally watching the third franchise of Spider-Man.
This is
right
true.
Now. We just had a whole celebration a minute ago.
Yeah. You right.
And this is the third iteration of that in the last 20 years.
So, BA, what you're saying is all of these remakes and reboots are actually multiverses of the original movies.
If that's what you heard, then fine. Sure. Yeah, they're variants. They're all variants of the original.
Cause, like, I just saw, like, they now this did interest me because I'm not like a big fan of the franchise, but like Netflix is coming out with a new Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and this one is supposed to be kind of a continuation of the original one that came out, and it's supposed to actually, like, the same writers who wrote the first one are involved. So that's intriguing.
So I would call that more of a reboot than what we're referring to as like White Man Can't Jump as a remake. They're not taking those same characters and putting them in new scenarios. They're giving you that movie in a more current. I guess am I making sense at all?
Yeah.
Not a sequel.
Well,
you know, it's not a sequel. It's more like a remake. A sequel would be the next chapter.
Whether Texas Chainsaw Massacre one could be called a sequel because it's supposed all to right. kind of be a continuation of, but the White Man Can't Jump is not. Yeah,
I look at reboots more like TV shows, like Roseanne. Mm-hmm. They did a reboot of Roseanne. They brought that back and just kind of
where they got picked up with the, you know, people have aged and they just picked up.
Right. We're rebooting versus remaking something. And what we're describing is more of a remake of the movies versus not rebooting a franchise, we're remaking it.
I haven't seen the new game on Paramount Plus, but from what I understand about that, and I could be wrong, but that is also kind of a reboot where they're
right, that's a reboot.
Like they have the same characters, but I don't know if it's necessarily a continuation of the story. Because
I didn't watch the game anyway, so I don't care.
Yeah,
well, but I think it's characters they have to pick up on the story, so to speak.
Not necessarily, because from what I understand, for one, it takes place in a totally different setting, and then two, the show has a different feel to it. You know, they're originally the game started out like more of a sitcom. Tasha
Max still Malik Mama, like
Tasha Max still is Mama.
Picking up,
Derwin Davis is there, but I know when they originally announced it, it was supposed to take on a different feel and different approach. Now, again, like I said at the beginning of it, I could be totally wrong. Maybe it is a continuation, but from the way they initially pitched it, it was going to be most of the same characters, but kind of like different situations, kind of like they're almost starting over from scratch. You know what I mean?
I don't know what that means. I mean, it's the same characters, so they have the same roles.
There's not all the same characters.
I mean,
placing
boots, they might introduce a new character, for instance, with the Roseanne or the Connors now, like they introduce kids that obviously weren't there before. So yeah, in a reboot, you will have new characters, but you reintroduce the majority of the main characters. And from what I can tell with the game, you know, a lot of the characters have come back. But when you say like they're in different situations, like what is it, a basketball team now instead of football? Like what does that mean?
No, so like sometimes with shows, like if it's a like actual reboot, they'll use the same character names, but like everything that happened in those seasons before don't even exist. It's kind of like they're starting from scratch. So like in this show, and I'm not saying that's the case with the game. I'm just saying when they first announced it and pitched it, That's what the feel of what they were saying was, is that it's going to have this whole different, you know, setting or whatever. So, for instance, you know, they played Malik and them played for the San Diego Sabres. This time they're playing for some team in Las Vegas.
They got traded.
Might have got traded. Very, very, very well could have. But I'm saying in other shows that have been rebooted, there's been situations where it's been the same characters. But anything that existed prior to, anything that we knew about prior to was not happening. So like, for instance, I think back when they had rebooted 90210 and Melrose Place, if I'm not mistaken, there was some characters in there that might've been on the original show. Definitely not the main ones like Brenda and Dylan.
No, 90210 had Kelly and, Kelly was there. I forgot who. Somebody else was there from the original show.
Oh, Jenny Garth.
Yeah, Jenny Garth was on the remake.
Okay, and was her storyline pretty much the same?
I think she did play Kelly, but it wasn't a very big role. I didn't watch the whole, so I don't remember her having a very big part in it.
Yeah,
but it was enough where she was present.
Yeah.
So the setting was the same, and she was there. Yeah. But it had this. It wasn't centered around her.
Got you. And I think, you know, obviously do that to you know, introduce the franchise of the show to like new generations. You know what I'm saying? So if it's us watching it for a nostalgia piece, and you know, a lot of the people that we were familiar with aren't there, then of course we're gonna feel some type of way. But for people that are just being introduced to it for the first time, it's like they're not gonna care. You know what I'm saying? It's like you're starting over from scratch, but with, you know, some characters that might be familiar, which I don't know. It can be a bit of a cheat sometimes, because it's like, all right, yo, we got this this foundation that we can build upon, and let's make some money real quick. You know what I'm saying? Right. So I don't know.
Well, we started just talking about the White Man Can't Jump remake, and I like Kenya Barris. I like what he does, so I'm curious to see what he does with it. The movie is pretty much 30 years old at this point, so I'm not even mad at them remaking it, because that's what happens. So I'm curious to see this one. I would give this a chance.
Yeah.
I just want to know if Riff don't do White Man Can't Jump on the soundtrack again. That's all I need to know.
Man, I don't know.
Certain ones, I'm not gonna pay. Like, I'm not gonna give my attention to. Man. House Party is not on my radar. You can't fuck with that classic for me. So I'm not gonna rewatch the new House Party.
Watch it. I'm curious about that one too. I would rewatch that. Obviously, I doubt I'm gonna gravitate to it like the original House Party, of course. But I'm gonna rewatch. It's like, you know, when people remake songs, sometimes, well, with songs. Sometimes it can be better than
Tread lightly, my nigga.
Don't do that.
I don't expect walk that House back. Party or even the White Man Can't Jump to be better than the original.
I got one song I'm about to say for you right now.
I don't expect White Man Can Jump and House Party to be better than the originals, but I'm gonna give it a shot. But just saying, like, sometimes the same way they remake songs, they'll remake movies. So I'll at least I'll give it a shot and check it out.
This is random, but y'all remember when Boyz II Men came out with their version of It's So Hard to Say Goodbye, and then right around the same time that song on the House Party 2 soundtrack had dropped.
I don't remember. What song on the House Party 2 soundtrack?
It's So Hard to Say Goodbye.
I remember.
It was in the, because it was in the movie. It was all throughout the movie too. But
who sang it on House Party soundtrack?
I don't remember the group's name, but I just remember they came out around the same time. Yeah, House Party 2. They came out around the same time, and like, it was like nobody was paying attention to that.
No, I don't even remember this shit, so I definitely wasn't paying attention.
I'm about to look at that right now. Keep on
next
going.
Next time you watch House Party 2, it's like they literally play it at least 5 times throughout the movie, because it's usually when Kid is reminiscing about Robin Harris's character, Pop.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it was you made me think of that when you was talking about the version.
Yeah, no, Boyz II Men definitely owns that record, bro. I didn't even know it was a remake when they made the goddamn song.
Right. I didn't.
But that's because
as many times as I had seen Coolie High, it didn't click. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think at that point I had saw Coolie High until like after I had already heard that song. When I saw it, I was like, why are you singing Boyz II Men and Coolie High?
Yeah, they own that. Just like
they own that shit, bro.
Whitney Houston owns I Will Always Love You.
Yep, that's her.
Dolly Parton.
Sorry, Dolly.
Yeah.
Dolly even admits that shit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
also, like, the group was called The Flex.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Never to be heard from again. Wow.
But it's just like Boyz II Men redid New Edition, the song. That was trash.
Remade,
that was horrible. That should have never happened.
Should have never happened.
Oh, man. Listen, well, here's one remake that I know Tej never will let me down, and I don't even have to say it. Tej, you know what I'm talking about.
No, not yet, but entertaining, I guess.
So, you know, back in the day, for all, you know, y'all that don't know, me and Tej used to have a radio show. Called Superior Radio, and
I don't know where you're going with this, but go ahead.
Oh, you gonna know. So, you know, we would play, you know, various songs on the show, and we would always end the song in the show with I forgot what that segment was called, but it was like a special
take home joint of the day.
Yeah, take home joint of the day, something that, you know, might have been out the box or might not have been heard in a long time.
Now and so they're going.
Okay. And so this one time I decided I wanted to do something a little different because, you know, I'm not going to lie, I didn't hate this version of the song.
But, how did you not?
Okay. I played this remake of a Prince song.
You got to specify, dog. He played Mariah Carey and Cisco's remake of The Beautiful Ones.
Oh, he stopped there.
I'm good.
That shit was horrible.
Oh, my God. It was not that bad.
Dave.
It was not that bad. Okay.
That's a horrible fucking remake. And Mariah and Cisco can sing. This wasn't their death. I don't know what the conditions were like in the studio. I don't know if they were just no. That song, that remake was fucking horrible.
Oh, why would they make that a duet?
Oh my God.
I don't know. Sometimes people do that. They'll take songs that were not duets and make them a fucking duet. But
that ain't one that should have been done that way.
Yeah, they should have left that alone. And I don't know how they listened to the playback on that and like, yeah, put this on the album. That shit was horrible. But
Dave, I'm not gonna roast you on it because to this day, I have some other friends that get mad at me that say I like the second Power theme song.
With Trey Songz?
I liked it.
Oh, wow.
I like that song.
Oh, my God. No. Yeah, that version should never have even...
I liked that version so much, I wish they would have put it on Power Book 2.
Wow. Wow.
So let me ask y'all this, Dave and Drew, because I think me and TJ had this debate before, offline. I still believe Mariah or Brenda K. Starr?
Don't even know the Brenda K. Starr version.
I do actually.
I don't.
Mariah knew it.
I got to revisit that, man. I'm not gonna lie.
I'm gonna have to do the same thing, bro. But
y'all do that because TJ said you said Mariah, right? TJ.
I like Mariah's version better,
and I like Brenda K. Starr's.
Man, yeah, I'm gonna definitely have to revisit that one.
I think, because we were having a conversation of people remaking songs and owning them. And I think Brenda doesn't sound good to me in the song. She was not a strong vocalist, and it shows. And when I think of that song, I think of Mariah singing ass. And then I went back and listened to Brenda's, and I couldn't even get through it because she's just not a strong vocalist. It didn't sound good.
Brenda's felt like the era. It's a nostalgia in that song.
I can admit that, but I just didn't feel it. I wanted to hurry up and unlisten and go back to Mariah's version.
Man, I can't believe I didn't have this on my list, man. But you know we gotta talk about it. Okay. You already
do.
Know
we really
talk about it? Yes, we do. Yes, we absolutely.
I just woke up.
Do.
I don't know what any of these topics are. What do we gotta talk?
I
about?
Know what this is,
man.
You don't know what this is,
Juicy J.
Throw a mic at this dude, bro.
Oh, busy.
You don't know.
Versus, man. Versus. Oh my God. It was everything we hoped for and more.
Listen, I wrote on IG like it was just basically the cousins kicking it at the family reunion. They got too drunk, got in a fight, got over it, made up, and continued kicking it. And that's all it was.
Yo, and Busy to this day is still zero fucks given.
Yo, can I just add that? Somebody had tweeted like the day before the verses.
Yeah,
and they said, and I'm paraphrasing, but they said, a whole new generation is finna find out why Busy Bone is the most chaotic rapper ever. And he said that the day before the verses. And wow. Then, true enough, what happened.
Wow.
I don't blame Busy anymore.
Man. Well,
And we had this conversation yesterday, so I already know what he's gonna say.
Yeah, I told y'all how I felt about that one. Like, bro, Busy was just going on a rant. That's all he was doing. He was about to start ranting. UCJ hit him with the suck my dick, and that's when the fight started. Like,
that's
really?
That's universal.
You ain't just gonna say that to me, bro. Like,
and I don't know if you saw. I don't know if you saw his interview with Fat Joe, but he actually said that. BA. He basically said that he had a cold that his son had given to him, and he wasn't feeling well. He said he was coughing up mucus and stuff all day, and he said that he just wasn't, you know, wasn't feeling well at all and was, you know, trying to stay upbeat and everything. And so he said that literally what you just said, he said that his idea of the banter back and forth was like, you know, he called him an ugly motherfucker. And he thought that they were just gonna come back like, oh, how you gonna call us ugly? Y'all ugly,
right?
And blah blah blah.
Well, no, he said, disrespect.
Right, right. And so then he said, when he came on him, came at him with the suck my dick thing, that was all some street shit.
The line was crossed.
Yeah, the line was crossed.
The line was crossed at that point. The
shot was fired.
So I get that. Like in the moment, you don't realize it, but when you look back at it, like I get exactly what happened.
Yeah.
That line was crossed right at that moment.
Man,
that's when the water bottle flew and that's when the mic flew because he said it twice. And two things flew.
Oh, his meds.
That street code. And he said that his soul left his body. And mm-hmm. after that, it was, you know.
But yo, okay, listen. On one hand, I understand what y'all saying because suck my dick is some inflammatory shit to say to another person. I get it. But
you saw what happened to Kane, Father and Menace, you know.
But listen, on the other hand, it was like, yo, you started the disrespect. Don't be mad because they elevated that shit. Like you were the instigator. And then he replied how he replied, and I get it. But you started the disrespect, and then he just took it to the next level, but still.
Yeah, but like he said,
yeah, no, his back and forth banter is one thing, but there's always a line.
Yeah, like, yeah. Because honestly, I think I brought this up to somebody I was talking to. I expected something like that with Jadakiss and Dipset, but because you know both of them are definitely with the shits, but.
But they mad cool though. They
yeah. like, they mad cool, and plus that's that New York aggression too. That's a whole different beast.
Thing is that 3-6 and Bone had beef for like 20 years.
Yep.
And so that shit was, you know, and then even like some of the songs that they performed were disses to each other.
Yeah, yeah. And that Midwest beef goes a little different too. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say that definitely played a part in it too, you know, as opposed to Lox and Dipset because they never really, you know, got into it like they, you know, there's competition, but they've been mad cool all these years. So it was they had the aggression and they were talking shit, and it did feel like a couple of tense moments during the Lox and Dipset, but it wasn't like real past beef behind it like Mafia and Bone.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what they said on stage. They was like, we should have been fighting each other 20 years ago in our 20s. We doing it in our 40s.
Right, right. Exactly.
But one thing in this versus I did get, I didn't really know I rock with 3-6. Rock with 3-6.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It was shocking to me. I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You forgot how many hits they had, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just sat there and listened to the whole, like, the whole thing. And I was like, man, I'm up here bobbing my head to everything they hit.
Yeah. Yeah, and man, like as far as features, man, that this was a dope versus as far as like the amount of people they were actually
got out DJ. Are you serious?
DJ from Hustle and Flow, 8-Ball and MJG, Wheezy of all people.
Yeah. Wait, was 8-Ball in there? I didn't see that.
Yeah, they did
Stay Fly
at the end, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I guarantee you if she wasn't doing that Annie live crap, Taraji would have been out there doing Hard Out Here for a Pimp.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And I'm low key mad Bone didn't do
first. We ain't gonna talk about LeChat. LeChat was there.
Was there.
Project was there.
Project was there. That's what everybody was excited about. Lil Jon came out for Bone.
Oh.
But
they didn't do Whoop That Trick, but okay.
Well, yeah. You know what? Oh, yeah, they probably should have, yeah. But I think they probably, I don't understand Bone's set list because I was looking at the playlist on Tidal, and yeah, I don't know how they did some of the shit that they did, but then didn't get to first of the month. Maybe they had it pinpoint for a certain time in the fight, in the technical difficulties, they had to cut it, but it was some other shit that I felt could have been cut. Besides first of the month, I don't get that.
That's what I always say about verses, though, that what your song list matters. Yeah. And I don't think you cut first of the month. If you got to cut something, that's not the one to cut.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like that's a very bad decision if that's what they did.
Yeah. Right.
Y'all knew y'all need to knock out Crossroads. You knew you needed to do Notorious Thugs. Yeah. You knew you needed to do First of the Month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you knew you had to bring your girl Tasha.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was my personal highlight, by the way.
Yeah.
With Tasha being there. That was all I needed.
Yeah. And yeah, I don't think Thuggish Bone would have felt right if Tasha wasn't there.
Did y'all see the thing that came out afterwards where, you know, Swiss was complaining about artists overcharging for verses?
Yeah.
I saw that. And I also saw when he subbed niggas, like, niggas ain't did shows in 23 summers.
Yeah.
They want to charge us. Like, I thought that was a lot.
Yeah.
They ain't going on stage. So they homie call from Rikers to pray.
was definitely some bone shit for sure.
Busy said that wasn't about them, but we all know it was. That
definitely sounded like some bone shit.
Yeah. Ooh. But nah, man, it was definitely, like I said, definitely exceeded our expectations.
I'm sorry, I'm going to cut you off, Dave. Yeah. I just want to take a moment to shine a light on the amazing career that has been Juicy J. Like, I never saw that happening.
Oh, my God. Like, I know, listen, right?
His Oscar career arc? Like...
Yeah, listen, once they won that Oscar, dog, Katy Perry songs are not off the table anymore.
Right. That's my point. Like, yo, like... If we had looked at in 1997, if we had said this Juicy J dude would be doing pop records in 2021,
yeah. But like, I think we really like underestimated and sometimes forget these niggas won a fucking Oscar.
Yeah,
no, I get it. I get it. I'm talking about you never had that. That's part of what I'm saying though.
Yeah, in the '90s,
you never would have saw that happening. Like that, his career arc has been incredible.
Never. Absolutely not. Yeah. The nigga that made Ass and Titties winning an Oscar and doing mad pop records.
He got from that point to that point. It's amazing that he got to where he got to.
But
that, I just didn't see it coming from him. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Hey, kids,
but yeah, anybody win an Oscar, they can be instant kids, pop.
You can pop do stars, anything.
No, but the fact is, he got an Oscar. That's
I know, but that's the same. That's the springboard. Like, if you somehow...
I know the springboard, bro. That's not what I'm saying. I know the springboard. I'm simply saying I didn't think he would be able to do that.
I agree with that. And then I was adding on saying, yes, he's able to do that because you win a fucking Oscar, the world is your oyster.
Like, right, but you're missing the point. He's able to get an Oscar because he got an Oscar, is what you're saying?
I'm saying
he was able to get the fact that he was able to get to the Oscar point in general. Stop it. Well, I'm not doing it.
We're doing it again. Gee, I wasn't disagreeing with your point. I was just adding on to it. Like, yes, I would have never agreed. I would have never thought Juicy J would fucking be a huge pop star and do a huge pop records. But yes, once you win an Oscar, any fucking thing is possible. So that's, I was just agreeing with your point and adding on to it. That's all, bro.
Kids, you can do anything you put your mind to.
Yes.
I just envision them sitting in a old school Buick or something, bumping Slob on My Knob. One of them, like, nigga, one of these days, man, we gonna win an Oscar, Joe. And look what happened.
Didn't they mention something about niggas had outlandish writers?
I missed that.
I thought I saw that like. I think that was one of Swiss's complaints too, like niggas.
Oh, performance writers. I thought you.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, the performance writers. Like,
well, that sounds like a Juicy J thing.
Yeah,
I think he said something like somebody was like, you know, I can't do it if my favorite water bottle isn't there or some shit. It was. Man.
Yeah, hey. That sounds like Juicy.
Hey, it's trippy, man.
Hey, you can make demands, bro.
You know. I mean, you come on,
stop it.
You come on stage, carrying a
duffel bag. Hey, that's real shit, true.
You come on stage, carrying a duffel bag of cash, man. You
stop it. Y'all motherfuckers get this nigga win the Oscar. Man, fucking stop it.
I need all clear M&Ms.
This nigga, right. This right. This nigga.
I only want my
chicken wings from the right side.
I only want to be able to see the M.
If it's a W, you think, take it out. Throw it away if it's a W. I don't want no fucking W's on my end.
Oh my God.
Mm-mm-mm. It's crazy. I can't. No, I'm not doing this.
Man, listen.
Hold up. I did see something. I saw people in the comments saying Bone Thugs and Harmony versus Do or Die. I was like, are y'all really serious right now?
Just Do or Die.
I was like, Do or Die? Yeah. Why?
Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, what, you going to get one song?
Let's see. But, yeah.
Play Paul Pippen. Play that Paul Pippen. Now play still Paul Pippen. Now play Paul Pippen again.
I did hear something about, I think Twista had commented in the comments or something saying that Busy has stole his style or somebody.
Busy, crazy.
That was the whole Midwest Triangle War because all the niggas was, all the fast rapping niggas of the early to mid 90s were beefing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't your boy like saying they people stole his style too? Tretch.
He said Twista did.
Yeah, he said, "Yeah, tongue twist your ass back to Chicago."
Yeah.
Also, that prompted one of the most underrated diss records ever. Suicide, like, Twista, absolutely. Suicide was he killed some dudes, bro.
Yeah. I still got that joint somewhere.
But if we being 100%, if we keep it in the buff right now, it was Twista first.
Oh yeah, without
it
a just, doubt,
it was Twista was first. That's what
without
it was.
A doubt, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I mean, because you think about it, what, like, even when, you know, back when Jay-Z and then was rapping fast, and, you know, Busta didn't really start rapping fast till much later. But, you know, all of that goes back to Twista.
Yeah, Twista, because
it was tongue Twister.
Yeah.
It was tongue Twister. That was what, 90, 91?
Yep.
Okay, yep. But here's the other thing. And I don't know, but, like, so. As far as Tretch, before they were Naughty by Nature, they were something else. They dropped a joint in like 89, though. I don't remember. I don't even think I heard it, so I don't know if he was rapping fast, but Tretch was around.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I couldn't call it like who invented the rapping style, but I know you know, Twister, and when he came out as Tongue Twister, he had always been on that. That was his thing from the jump.
Steve Rifkin signed him.
Yeah, when Tretch came out, when Naughty by Nature came out, Tretch, I mean, yeah, no, he was rapping fast on some of the songs. He wasn't rapping fast on OPP, not that fast anyway.
Yeah.
Well, Tretch also said that Jermaine owed him money for that jump shit. So
he contributed. Yeah, I think he said he contributed to Jump, and somehow, or did he write some of it or something? I don't know. Jermaine owed him money for that jump shit. Next time,
all I remember is that once he said that, then he got the youngsters to do some cruise pop. That's all I remember.
Man, don't sleep on the youngsters, man.
Oh, man. I
love cruise pop.
The Chow Rapper Wars, those were amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Shout out to what was Malik and
Eagle.
Illegal.
Yeah, Jamal.
Malik and Molly G.
The
Child Wars. It was the same like the Midwest Wars. Like, it was all interconnected because Child Wars, you had Illegal, the Youngsters, Crisscross, ABC. The Midwest Wars, it was.
Did you forget the family?
Oh my God.
Forgot about the family, bro.
It runs in the family. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I ain't go front. Family had at least one song that I was digging.
Yeah. And then they got murked by Malik.
Quiet as kept, Malik was dope, bro.
Man.
Absolutely. Yeah. They both were. Both Malik and Jamal. Jamal kind of came along a little later. Especially when he got
They were better together than they were apart.
Yeah.
I feel like they were better apart than together.
But Jamal was the only one that actually dropped his solo album, right? Malik's album never came out.
I didn't know Jamal dropped an album.
Better together. Because when, you know, Malik, when they split, Jamal went Death Squad, Malik went Death Row.
Yeah.
And Malik he had the feature on Snoop's album, of course.
Yeah.
But that was pretty much it. And I didn't know Jamal dropped the album.
Yeah. But I have the album. It's very, like you said, it's very Death Squad sounding. I think Eric did a couple, if not most of the beats on there.
I think they lost a lot of momentum to me when they split up.
Well, see, I feel like they were just because they were older and more mature, and they got better rapping obviously as they got older. So I
Like, I mean, I will go back and listen to a couple of illegal songs for nostalgia's sake, but I definitely think I appreciated them more as rappers once they split up because they had gotten older and obviously grown as MCs a little bit more.
Don't forget about Quo. No, I'm joking.
Yo, is the one dude still married to Reagan Gomez Preston?
Yep. Yeah.
Crazy. And Eminem was the other dude in Quo, and he grew up to be a good rapper.
What?
No, that was Wade Robson, the choreographer dude.
Yeah, the one who accused Michael Jackson of touching him.
Like right. Eminem before we knew who Eminem was.
True, he did.
That's how rumors get started.
You can literally show somebody that doesn't know Quo at all, show them old pictures and be like, look at Eminem as a kid, and they will.
I know, but what I'm saying is, like, you got somebody who's listening to this, and if we didn't just fact check you, they would have believed that shit. Then they would have told their friends, you know, Eminem was in a group called Quo, and then now it's just being spread around, and like you the source of bad information. Like, don't.
But that's just how believable. That's just how much he looked like that little dude.
That doesn't make it okay for you to do on this platform,
nigga. I know you. Whatever.
Yo, that has been another episode of On the Serious 33 and a Third podcast. Much love to everybody out there that's been listening. It's the holidays. Y'all definitely be safe out there. Real quick, man, before we gotta go, I definitely gotta send a rest in peace shout out to Virgil Abloh, man, the visionary, the man, you know, Chicago's own.
Ghania's finest.
Man, you know, he passed away recently from cancer, and you know, just his legacy will forever be remembered. The brother was just extremely talented, and just, you know, prayers and deepest thoughts go to, you know, his family and you know, his fans around the world. And also, definitely, you know, prayers and condolences to the Avant family, Clarence Avant, whose wife Jacqueline was, you know, tragically murdered in a home robbery. Just a senseless act of violence, man. You know, I don't know what's going on in this world right now, but y'all got to stop, man.
And also those four students who lost their life in Michigan.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, the students in the school shooting, man. Everybody got to stay prayed up out here, man. And please stop the violence. It's just not making any sense. It's not worth it. And we got to do better, y'all. But, you know, once again, I want to thank everybody, you know, for tuning in. Keep on supporting On the Serious 33 and a Third. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Instagram. And man, I think we're coming up on 50 now, ain't we? Next episode or something.
Next episode.
Yeah, man. I think we need to do something special, sir.
Yeah, man. Yeah, we're gonna have to do something special. So we're gonna need y'all to tune in. We're gonna cook up something in the works. So y'all be on the lookout, all right? All right, y'all. We love y'all, man. One love. Peace.